And I'm going to pray for us one more time before we get into God's word. So let's join our hearts together one more time in prayer. So Father, we just thank you for gathering us together this morning as a church family. And we just pray that you would guide this time as we go to your word. And we just pray that your encouragement and your strength would be with us. And so, Holy Spirit, we welcome you once again. And we say, do the work in our hearts through the power of your word and through the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so the title of today's message is Thirsting for More of God's Presence. And we're in Ephesians chapter 5, 15 to 20. So you could turn there in your Bibles. I'm going to start out with a little story that I think will help us connect in with this passage and what this passage says and actually really relates to the regional conference we just had. So many of you know we just had the regional conference, and the youth portion of the conference was across the street in our neighbor's building. They have a fitness center called Hotspot, and so that's where the youth, about 170 youth, were at. And it went great, but I'm just sharing a little bit of the backstory this morning, that it was kind of rough leading up to the start of the conference, to say the least. But part of our story was that a week before the conference, I was talking to the owner, and though we had communicated this months and months in advance, but somehow he got communicated that our conference was going to be for one day, even though we were having a four-day conference. So you kind of get the idea that it wasn't all smooth leading up to it. So fast forward to Wednesday morning on the first day, as we were going in there to set everything up, especially the sound equipment and worship stuff. So we went in there, and then so Paul, the owner, was setting up the sound system, and he wanted to test out the sound system. Many of you that have been in there, they have a very powerful sound system with many speakers and everything. And so he wanted to test it out, so he asked me if I had some music. And what I had been playing on my phone was some old school Vineyard worship music. And so I handed him my phone, and he blasted the Vineyard worship through the speakers. And I tell you, instantaneously, right at that moment, I sensed that the presence of God just entered the room. I know we talk about the omnipresence of God. God is everywhere. We are also talking about the manifest presence of God, the special presence of God, just instantaneously filled the room. And many of you know me for a long time. I'm not one that over-spiritualizes things, and I'm not one that has these experiences all the time. But in that moment, it just felt like the presence of God just filled the room. And from that moment on, things at the conference started flowing smoothly. And I wanted to share this with you because what we need is we need God's presence, right? When we get God's presence, when we get into his presence, things start flowing. And we as Christians, our call is to be thirsting for more of God's presence, longing to be in his presence, finding a way to get into the presence of God, because that's where the anointing flows, and that's what we need as Christians. And so you'll see there's this call that's in this passage, Ephesians chapter 5, 15 through 20. And so Paul's speaking to another church, the Ephesian church, but this is God's word to us as a church as well. So let's take a look, Ephesians 5, 15 through 20. Let's read this out loud together. It's in the NIV translation up on the screen. So let's read it out loud together. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look in your Bibles there. Look in the rest of chapter 5, the beginning portion of chapter 5. You'll see there's dozens and dozens of things that Paul has called in the church to be, to live a godly Christian life. Lots of stuff in the beginning portion of the chapter. In the beginning portions of this passage, there's also a couple of things, right? It says to be wise. Verse 16, make the most of every opportunity. Also says in verse 17, to understand what the Lord's will is. We would say yes to all of it. Everything in chapter 5. Yes, we are to be these godly Christians that Paul has called on us to. These three things in the beginning portion of this passage, we would say, yes, we need to be these things as godly Christians, but the million-dollar question is, how? How are we going to live out our godly lives as God has called us to? How are we going to live out the dozens of things that's even in this chapter that Paul is calling Christians to? And the answer is in this profound illustration in verse 18. Can we just read verse 18 out loud together again? Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. So I want to focus in there first on that the word or the two words, be filled. All right, so now, in the Greek, and this passage was originally written in Greek, in the Greek, the present tense is a little bit different than the English present tense, because in the Greek, there's no present perfect tense. And so in the present tense, it's actually a call. Paul's calling them to be continuously filled, ongoing, keep getting filled. He's calling them to. And he's giving this kind of compare contrast with getting drunk on alcohol and then getting drunk or getting filled with the Spirit. Let me put it like this for point number one. What Paul is saying, how are we going to live out our godly Christian lives? The things that he calls us to, the dozens of things that's in this passage, the rest of all of it that's included in just our daily Christian lives. Point number one, be continuously, ongoing, filled with the Holy Spirit. Now I want to kind of talk about this parallel that Paul is saying about getting drunk on wine, leading to debauchery, and being filled with the Spirit. So as an illustration, let me just tell you a little bit about my college experience. I went to a very secular school, as many of you have also gone to secular schools. And at this secular school in upstate New York, there was a lot of drinking. And I remember walking down College Avenue in Ithaca, New York, a row of houses, every single weekend. Every single weekend, they'd invite their friends, and they'd get filled with wine, filled with alcohol, leading to debauchery, every single weekend, without fail. And it might not have been enough, so along the way, midweek, they would find reasons to gather up together again and also get filled with the alcohol leading to debauchery, as this passage is talking about. And Paul's making this parallel with getting filled with the Spirit. So let me tell you a little bit about my personal experience in college. So there was a patch of time in college where I just was in a dry season spiritually. And I was, as this title of today's message says, I was thirsting for more. I was reading in the Bible, as you've all read, Acts, the Gospels, the Epistles, reading about the radical Christian life, or maybe just chapter 5, about all this godly living, everything that we are called to do, and feeling like this is not my daily life. And I would say, you know, even in the church that I was attending, this isn't what's happening. You know, this radical Christian life that's in the Bible is not what I've been experiencing. So at the time, there was a Vineyard Christian Fellowship that was starting up on the campus, and so I started going. And I got filled with the Spirit. And all that means, right, that means a lot of different things. Yeah, I started speaking in tongues. I started hungering for God's word. I started being more passionate and bold in evangelism, starting being passionate in my faith, et cetera, et cetera. And all that means about being filled with the Spirit. And for me, I couldn't help but keep going back. And that took a lot because at the time, that church was just getting planted in Ithaca, so we would drive an hour and a half up to Syracuse every Sunday, hour and a half there and an hour and a half back. But I couldn't do anything else but go to keep getting filled with the Spirit. And it wasn't enough, so we started gathering up midweek, maybe something what we call cell groups, small groups, Bible studies, what they called it was kinships. And we get together at midweek and keep getting filled with the Spirit. And Paul's telling the Ephesian church, he said, listen, this is the way forward. Do you want to know the way forward? I'm going to tell you a list of dozens of things that you need to be, that you need to do in the Christian life. But I'm going to give you this profound illustration. What you need is you need to be thirsting for God's presence, getting filled, ongoing, being filled with the Spirit. And can I put it like this? Even the world knows that they need to continuously get filled and find ways to get filled. On the counterfeit, how much more for us, as we know that we're called to live kingdom lives, to have kingdom impact, to impact the community for the glory of Jesus Christ, how much more that we need to get filled on the real thing? That's God's call for us as a church, especially in this season. Right? Especially in this season, lots of doors that are opening up, Japan missions. We just had several teams this year go out to Iraq. We're trying to start a school of ministry. We just hosted the regional conference. Lots of open doors to a godly living. What's the way forward? Exactly what Paul is telling the Ephesian church. Thirst for God's presence. Be continuously filled. No matter what it takes, is it an hour and a half up and an hour and a half back? Whatever it takes, let me get into God's presence. Because that's the way forward For me, as Paul was saying, it's to call in the Ephesian church, God's calling us. There's a lot of incentive in this passage, this short passage, about why we have that relentless pursuit of getting into God's presence and whatever it takes that we'll get into God's presence. Watch the incentives, verses 19 through 20. Can we read it out loud together? Speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here's the results. He told them, go get continuously filled with the Spirit. And then he lists the results here, just a couple. He says, music's going to start coming from your heart. He said, thanksgiving's going to start coming from your heart. And this is the one that I really want to point out. He said, you're going to start speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. What he's saying is that, get filled with the Spirit, naturally ministry is going to start coming out of you. Naturally, you're going to start having impact in people in Japan. Naturally, you're going to start having impact in people in Iraq. Naturally, you're going to start having regional conferences. Naturally, you're going to start a school of ministry, start discipling people. It's going to be a natural outflow if we have this relentless pursuit of getting into God's presence, thirsting for more of God's presence. Let me put it like this for point number two. Getting filled with the Holy Spirit naturally results in overflowing ministry to others. I'm going to borrow the illustration from Pastor Irene from 2 weeks ago. She gave this illustration. I listened to it. I was on the Chinese side preaching that week. But I listened to it online. And she gave this illustration that I think fits perfectly with what Paul is saying in this passage. She asked a question. She said, which one is filled? And God says, in his kingdom, the way that he fills is he fills to overflow. When he fills us up and we're like, I need to get into God's presence, whatever it takes, I'm going to get into his word, I'm going to get into worship, I'm going to get into a small group, whatever it takes, I need God's presence. And when he begins to fill us, he fills us to a point of overflow. Let me share a story about what happened to me at the end of the conference, at the end of the conference and then after the conference ended too. So on the Friday night, you saw in the video, one of the pastors in the Inland Valley Vineyard in Corona was preaching Travis Twyman, and the call at the end of his message was, come forward if you need to get refreshed, if you need God's presence. And he used an illustration of a well that was breaking out of the ground, and you just need to get just drenched in God's presence. Come forward. I was the first one forward, and I was the last one that left that night, because I'm very aware in this season of life and in this season of ministry, I need to get into God's presence. I need his presence to just overwhelm me and fill me to the point of overflow, lest I don't have anything else to give. Whereas Paul's kind of saying, all these calls, dozens of things to live out the Christian life, there is no way. Read the list in chapter 5, if we could do it on our own. There's no way that we could do that lest we get into God's presence and let the floodgates just spring up and just drench us and pour into our lives. That is the way forward. So fast forward to Monday morning. Monday morning, I was going to return the rental van. So you know we ran a shuttle service, and one of the vans I was responsible to return. So return it to Enterprise Rental Car, 3 minutes from here. Right, this is right down on Valley, a little bit west on Valley, 3 minutes away. So I go there, fill out the paperwork, etc., and then I get into the car. One of the workers is going to drive me back to church. So it's 3 minutes away, and this is important to the story. 3 minutes away, I get into the car, and I just decide to just kind of strike up a conversation with him. So I said, how are you doing? And he said, I'm not doing good. And I said, what's wrong? He said, I need to go home soon. He said, you know, my tonsils are, something's happening there, it's swelling up, and I just need to go home. And so I said to him, hey, I'm a Christian, and I believe in prayer, and I believe in healing. Can I just pray for you? As we're backing out of the parking space and we're about to pull out onto Valley Boulevard. And so he says, okay. And so I just do what we've been trained to do, right? We command the healing on the body. I just commanded healing on his throat, on his tonsils. I prayed, as we've been taught, just pray the love and the compassion of Jesus upon him, and then ask him how he's doing. And so did that. This is where now we're pulling out onto Valley Boulevard. And then he just kind of, you know, feels around. And he says, actually, it's feeling better. And I said, is it all the way better? He said, it's not all the way better. I said, let's pray again. So I did what we've been taught to do, right? I rebuked the spirit of infirmity. I command healing on his throat, his tonsil area. just ask the loving compassion of Jesus. Like, now we're headed down. We're probably, you know, really down Valley Boulevard towards church, almost to Bray Canyon Road. I ask him how he's doing. He says he's feeling better. And then I ask him if he's a Christian. And he tells me that, you know, he does have a relationship with Jesus, but that he hasn't been walking with the Lord. He hasn't been in church. And I tell him that, you know, I feel like that God just wants to heal you today, to just show you that he's real and that he loves you. By the time we're pulling into the parking lot of the church, he's really happy at this point because God's healing him. And then I just say goodbye to him, and then it takes off, and I'm kind of stunned at what had happened. And then I go home and I tell Evangeline, you know, the story of what has happened. This is my exact words to her, because we were just kind of talking about, you know, this kind of experience that I had. And I said, we're in a flow of the Spirit. And it's got to be that we're getting into God's presence and we're getting filled with his Spirit, and these things begin to happen in our lives. I want to tell you, these things don't happen all the time in my life, but I pray and I believe that it will happen more as we get into God's presence and long and relentlessly in our heart say, I need to get into God's presence, and he fills us up and these things begin to flow out of our lives. One specific thing, though, I think that's going to start flowing out of our lives. Do you remember at the end of last week's message, a lot of you were there, Lance Pitlock, one of the father figures of the Vineyard Movement, at the very end of the message, Lance said, I just feel like I want to share one more passage. It was Romans 15, verse 13. Lance had no idea that this verse is a key verse for our church. Lance had no idea that this verse is a really key verse for this particular congregation. And Lance had no idea that this verse is actually really key to this building. It was the one verse that we read at the dedication of this building. It's really key to us. Romans 15, verse 13. Let's read it together. Romans 15, 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. A couple of things. The word fill there is the same word. It's the same Greek word as in the Ephesians passage. Paul was telling the Romans, get filled with the Spirit. Get continuously filled with the Spirit. But the further revelation here is that the Holy Spirit in this passage is described as the God of hope. And then in this passage, the further revelation here is that the overflow is an overflow that's filled with hope. I think this is a really key point to some of us here in our church. And the last week, the call forward was, if you need hope, come get filled with the Spirit. Because that's where the hope is, right? He's the God of hope. And we're going to start overflowing with hope, Romans says. But I want to take it a step further this morning, because it's not just for ourselves. There's this overflow that Ephesians talks about, that we start singing songs to other people, psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, and it's to other people. There's other people in our lives that God might bring to your mind even right now that need hope, people that are really close to you, your family members, your close friends, your kids, and they need hope. And you know how they're going to get hope? It's if we get into God's presence and we relentlessly pursue and say, I need to be filled with the Spirit. And the God of hope fills us up and we start overflowing with hope. And that's where the hope begins to come and break through in other people's lives. And God's speaking to us as a church and a community. We've been preaching about kingdom impact, kingdom life. The way we're going to have kingdom impact is we're thirsting, or like Pastor Irene talked about, hungering for God's presence. And that means all sorts of things, right? It means all sorts of things. But it's something that's deep to the core of our hearts that we're like, I need God's presence. I need his presence. There is no other way forward. I need his presence. I need his hope. And I need to overflow with hope to those who surround me. And that's the way forward for us. As God was, or Paul was saying to the Ephesian church, this is the way forward for you. I'll just list out dozens and dozens of things that you're called to do, but let me come in and say, here, this is how you're going to do it. As the world gets drunk on wine, and they need to do it every single weekend, they need to find ways to do it midweek, This is the way that we're going to pursue the presence of God, pursuing the presence that brings hope, that brings life, that overflows hope to the people that surround us. Let's pray in response to God's word. Can I have the, let's get the worship team up here and the prayer team if you'd come up here as well. Can you just bow your heads with me as we close out and respond to God's word? I'm going to give the same call as last week, and I'm going to extend it one step further afterwards. Just all eyes closed, just give everyone a personal moment right now. Are you here this morning and you need hope? Situations are swirling about, family stuff, job stuff, relationship stuff, stuff with neighbors, stuff with friends, stuff with health, stuff with finances, all sorts of things. And you would say you need the God of hope to fill you, that you would overflow with hope. Could you just put your hand all the way up? Just represent it to God. Just keep it up. Keep it up. And then can you raise your hand also? If you hear you know some people in your life that need hope, you're like, man, there's some people that are close to me, and they need hope. Well, God said the way forward, to sing the psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, he said the way forward in that, he said, you get overflowed with hope. You get flooded with hope. And you start overflowing with hope. Can you put your hand up too? You're like, man, I need to overflow with hope because there's some people in my life that need to overflow with hope. And I need to be overflowing with hope. Can we pray for you? Can you come forward? We're just going to pray for the floodgates of heaven open up. He loves this, by the way. He loves this. God loves this. This is what we're doing, what this passion calls us to, be continuously filled with the Spirit, thirst for more of his presence. That's the only way forward. It's the only way forward. It's not our clever ideas. It's not our hard work, all our past experiences, not to knock those things. Those things are needed, but ultimately, at the core, it's about his presence. I forgot to mention one thing. We're going to sing this song, Holy Spirit. There's a list of songs, of songs that churches all across America sing. Thousands of songs in this database. This song, for several years, has been all the way up at the top, either number one or number two, maybe number five, but always up at the top. Why? Because it's about the presence. It's about God's presence, and you're going to see it's about God's hope. Saying, your presence, Lord, your presence. It's what I long for. That's where the hope is found. So Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this time. And just douse us, drench us in your presence, in your presence. Can we all stand together and all of us lift out our hands. Whether you're up here or you're sitting down, we're just going to all sing this song together as we close out. So Lord, drench us in your presence. Fill us to overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. We welcome you.